Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Anna Andreeva is with OPCO Oppenheimer. And she looks at all those stores we try to walk by as much as we can. Anna, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How does the general back to school go? If you look at 7, 8, 9, 10 specialty retailers, are they enthused?
No, actually not at all. Companies, you know, that we talk to and closely cover have been talking about certainly choppiness out there. Looking at July results for the space that were reported last week, July was not a good month for retailers, and we're seeing just pretty highly promotional environment out there, especially across the teen space, and it's very early in back-to-school selling, so we really only expect that to intensify even more as we go through the heart of the back-to-school selling season. We have retailers that have now missed sales for the last two quarters in a row. We're seeing inventory starting to build across the channel.
But are they summer inventories or are they the new stuff?
So it's some of the summer inventory and it's some of the new products as well. Because if you look at July, a lot of the retailers already set some of the early back-to-school product, and that's not resonating quite yet.
When do we start back-to-school? This has always been a mystery to me. To me, Joe Brusuelis is nodding his head here, folks. To me, back-to-school is like the Sunday before the first day of school. I'm guessing I'm wrong on that. Is it already started?
So every year, really, it seems that back to school is shifting later and later.
You
do have some of the tax-free holidays that have already started in the last couple of weeks. You do have some of the markets of Texas and Florida starting to go back to school now. So theoretically, you should start seeing some of the early build in back-to-school selling. Of course, you know, kids nowadays, they go to school, they see what their peers are wearing, and they come back to the mall, and, you know, theoretically, they buy more. At the same time, I think what we're dealing with right now, last year, there was a very strong fashion trend out there with color and denim specifically. And looking at the last few years, we haven't seen any meaningful must-have, you know, fashion item out there. So 2012 was really an exception to the rule. This year in 13, again, there's just not a lot of newness.
There's not a must-have.
No, there's not a must-have. So it's very difficult to lap the tough comparisons from last year. You certainly have weather that, you know, hasn't been optimal for a bunch of these retailers.
Right.
And, you know, what's going on with the consumer out there? I mean, certainly the job market is still sluggish. Some of the gas prices data is not encouraging.
Well, Joe, jump in here with Anna Andreeva. I'm looking for a must-have bow tie. I just don't see the must-have bow tie.
Well,
Joe,
somebody must have been buying bow ties because the demand for clothing was up 0.9% in July, which I think reflects what Anna was making. The point she was making is that many of the school systems are starting school early. You know, our friend Kristen Benz at Talented Blonde, her twins started school on July 31st. This notion of this back-to-school season being a late August, early September phenomenon is clearly over. You know, Anna, when you're looking out there, do you see problems, say, down the income scale for some of these retailers? And are we sort of giving an overrepresentation to just a few retailers as opposed to looking broadly?
I think some of the lower income consumer is certainly feeling the pinch of, you know, the higher gas prices. And again, not a lot of demand drivers out there. I think if you look at the higher income spectrum, you know, certainly looking at, you know, results from Kors, Michael Kors, you know, a week ago, still continues to be stellar. But, you know, certainly some of the higher income retailers like Ralph Lauren or, you know, for instance, Coach have been sounding a little bit more cautious as well. So I do think you're seeing the sluggishness across the board right now. Of course, you know, as we go through the next couple of weeks, there could be some pent-up demand, assuming, you know, the weather finally begins to cooperate. But, you know, so far we haven't really seen that.
Let's come back. Anna Andreeva with us. She will explain, while there is a line sign out the door at Abercrombie & Fitch on Fifth Avenue. I think it has something to do with Naked Boys. I think that's got something to do with it. Fifth Avenue, you can't walk by it. It's so jammed with people strung out in front. Abercrombie & Fitch is an event. The stock goes 30 to 80 to 30 to 80, and now it's sort of mid-range. Why is Abercrombie & Fitch, back a decade, so cyclical? Why doesn't it look like Michael Kors or Ralph Lauren?
So that's the specialty retail volatility for you right there. So basically, a few years back, Abercrombie talked about expanding internationally and, you know, how profitable that story would be. And that's really how the stock got to the $80 level. Since then, however, international results, they've been a little bit more choppy than the company expected. Domestic also has been challenging. So essentially, that's your kind of a level down back to, you know, $30 level. And, you know, since then, I mean, it's actually pretty interesting story from our perspective. Of course, the teen space is very scary right now. They missed sales in the first quarter. Wouldn't be shocking if they miss again in the second quarter. Certainly, the Eagle and Arrow did.
And, you know, I look at the website. It's the hunky boy site. They've got hunky boys like Joe Brusuelas hugging dogs. That seems to be the marketing theme here. Here's a hunky boy with a lab. The lab's got a tennis ball in its mouth, and there's Hunky Boy hugging the sorta. It's like the dog Jonathan Wald has over at CNN. It's got the white cutesy pie, huggy, huggy dog thing. I mean, is that a branding strategy, Hunky Boys and Dogs?
Well, actually, there's some girls as well, and not just the boys. Actually, that brand image has been, you know, upsetting some of the parents out there, as you would imagine, especially if you look at the younger Hollister brand that they have, you know, which targets a younger teen customer. But in general, you know, it's a pretty interesting story. If you kind of go back a couple of years ago, you know, Abercrombie posted really the best profitability in the space. And certainly the fashion was in their favor. It was more about basics. So they could get away with, you know, selling denim and T-shirts and hoodies and not really promoting the assortment. Since then, of course, you know, things have changed. There's much more fast fashion, you know, entry into the space. There's apparel deflation, you know, taking place. And, I mean, they're really learning how to be a fashion retailer. So we're really only, you know, in year two or three of Abercrombie even having, you know, fashion to begin with and, you know, starting to promote the fashion. So, you know, we think there's still a lot of low-hanging fruit for this retailer to capitalize on, you know, as they go through the next couple of years.
And Anna, I've got all the respect in the world for you, how you can say all this with a straight face about hunky boys hugging dog. Joe, jump in here and save both me.
Well,
and
low-hanging fruit and hunky boys and dogs in this time of the morning. Okay, so can Abercrombie & Fitch disrupt their brand by moving to a more fashion-based organization and keep some of the loyalty they had? Or are they really targeting, like what I see across many different industries, is a narrowing upscale margin?
That's definitely a concern at the adult, you know, A&F brand. However, you know, we do think the brand does have power and staying power. And the fact that, you know, you're still seeing lines on Fifth Avenue at the flagship that actually has been open since, you know, 2005 already. So it's not a new store by any means, exactly. And at the flagship, they don't even promote.
Okay.
So that's, you know, kind of fascinating. Plus, you certainly have the international story as well, and right now they're moving forward with the Hollister concept versus the more expensive A&F brand, and that's resonating.
Yeah, what are they doing? And I guess you're lukewarm on American Eagle. Do I have that right?
Correct.
What is the best practices of A&F or the others that somebody over at American Eagle needs to figure out?
Well, American Eagle actually had a phenomenal year last year. They got fashion right. Again, earlier we talked about the fashion trend out there with color and denim. American Eagle historically has a very strong denim presence. So last year they were able to capitalize on it. And, you know, as we see in specialty retail, if you got fashion right, I mean, that usually, you know, lasts for a couple of quarters. And, you know, that was 2012 for this company. However, you know, this year it's more challenging to lap these comparisons. They don't have, or there's not a lot of newness in general when it comes to fashion right now. So you just don't have that must-have item. And you have operating margins for American Eagle that are actually the highest compared to some of its teen peers. So certainly, you know, outside of just, you know, getting products right, they don't have a lot of levers.
So outside of the teen retail space, what's going to be the big item in fall that you expect to drive retail sales across the spectrum in the last quarter of the year?
Well, so that's really the problem with the space currently, that there are not a lot of must-have items in general. You know, for the teen folks, people are talking about some of the distressed and embellished denim, which actually is theoretically higher price. So that could be an opportunity. But, of course, you are lapping very tough comparisons in colored denim from last year, and color pretty much is over from what we've seen. So we think that's going to be very challenging.
We got 1 minute left, Anna, and this message came in from John in New Jersey. What is it about school backpacks? Every kid every year needs a new backpack. Do you cover this charade?
Yeah, so actually we do cover, and we like Children's Place, which of course, you know, is a big backpack.
And you buy a bright, colorful backpack. I need a new one this
year.
What
is wrong with last year's? Just use that, kid.
You could certainly, if you're cash strapped, that yes, you can certainly do that. We
you just
have
call me cheap.
Yes, we have seen the category more promotional already for back to school, and you know certainly Children's Place, you know Old Navy are some of the players that you know are being very promotional with the category. So yeah, that's a fair point.
Okay, Anna, very good. Anna Andreeva with OPCO,
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.